Romans chapter 12. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I had a friend send me a passage today, this morning, and I opened it up and I thought, man, that's great. And it really inspired me as I was ready to preach the message for this morning. He sent me Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 through 29. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The greatest thanksgiving we can give to God is not just with our words, but with our lives. To be authentic Christians, to serve Him, that we share the grace, that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, if you've not been here for this series, out of Romans chapter 12, I'm giving us 12 keys that will help us to live an authentic Christian life. Salvation, but every day we give ourselves over to Christ. We lay our lives down for Him to say, whatever you want, whoever I am, I'm yours. Then we must say no to our current worldview. There is an evil worldview out there that's trying to influence all of us. And if we're going to be authentic in our Christian walk, we have to recognize what that is and say no to it. Number three, we must constantly guard and renew our minds. We talk to ourselves more than anybody else talks to us. Now, some of you kids may say, well, you don't live in my house. You don't live with my mom. You don't live with my dad. I'm telling you, in your mind, you talk to yourself more than anyone else. And so you must constantly guard and renew your mind. Number four, we must practice humility. Practice humility. We've got to realize when God chooses to pour out His blessings on us as a church or on us as individuals, it's all about Him. It's not about us. We need to be careful to give Him glory, give Him thanks. And so Thanksgiving, if that's the only time we give thanks and praise to God, we are missing it by a long shot. We should be a people of humility that praises God and thanks God for all He has given us. Number five, the fifth key to being an authentic Christian, we must serve in the body of Christ. You cannot be an authentic Christian without serving in the body of Christ. You show me where it's possible to do that in Scripture, and I'll come back and apologize to you as a church, as people, about it's not important that we serve the body of Christ. Number six, we are to love one another. That's talking about in the church. We should love one another. I love getting together. I love watching the kids up there. I saw an old man in one of the pictures up there. Did you see him? He was in an orange shirt. It was me. I came up there just to see what the kids were doing. I love our kids. I love our seniors. I love what we're doing in our life group classes. To me, it's all so, so important that we love one another. Last week, we looked at we must be patient in tribulation. I have news for you. It's coming. It's coming our way quickly. You look at the news, you look at the political environment, this thing that we think is going so great right now is teetering. And things are going to crash in a tremendous way. And I believe it's all part of us marching towards the end times. I believe we're not only in the last days, I believe we're in the last hours before Jesus Christ comes again. So I shared with you last week, we must expect it. That's tribulation, persecution. We must prepare for it. We must help one another. We must rejoice in it. This is exciting times. That's why our young people are so important to me. These are exciting days. We don't have a lot of time left. We need to do all we can to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to see some of these young people surrender to ministry. I want to see some of our young adults go out as missionaries. I want to see us have a heart where we cry and have a burden over the lost because time is short. And we're going to face tribulation. But in tribulation, we know that God can do even greater things, and we rejoice in that. Then the eighth key of an authentic Christian is their person of prayer. They love to pray. Do you love to pray? I have found this. Prayer is the most is one of the easiest things to talk about, but one of the hardest things to practice. We are so busy. We're running here, running there, running there, and we got timelines. We're going. But how often do we just stop and pray? And then the last key we looked at last week is we must promote peaceful harmony, serving and giving to one another, helping one another. Hey, when the world sees the church living in harmony, they see Christ in us. And that's why Satan loves to divide churches. He loves to divide families. He doesn't have a lot of tricks that he can pull on us, but that's one of the main ones, and it's very effective. So we're going to continue and conclude this series today, How to Live an Authentic Christian Life. And turn again in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we will begin at verse 17. Stand with me as we read God's Word. Today we're standing out of reverence to God's Word and also to wake up the young people. All right, and their workers. All right, Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. We looked at this verse 18 last week. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And don't forget this last part, says the Lord. God is the one that deals with that justice of revenge and justice. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I like verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, please take these next few moments. And for those that are here that are lost, may they cry out to you today to be saved. Those that want to live an authentic Christian life, I pray these words will be words of encouragement to help them to keep on keeping on. For those on the fence trying to live with one foot in the world, one foot in the church, one foot with sin, and one foot trying to please you, may today they take their one foot out of the world and plant it firmly on you, the solid rock. Help us, Father, as a church, to take a stand for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the 10th key, or the first key for this morning, the 10th key in our list of 12 of how to live an authentic Christian life is I must love our enemies. We must love our enemies. Earlier we looked at loving one another. That's pretty good. That's pretty easy. But what about loving our enemies? Look at verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Your enemies are going to come at you and do bad things to you, harmful things, and your temptation is going to want to get even with them, right? Isn't that what you want to do? That's your flesh coming through. Look at verses 19 through 20. We just read them, but I want to point out some things again. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. But look at verse 20. Therefore, what is therefore? Therefore, it's telling you how to respond. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And for doing so, you will heap coals of fire. And instead, we're going to look at that phrase here in just a moment. These words of Paul are reminiscent of the words of Jesus himself. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. He said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You've heard that, right? Get even, get back at him. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's a whole different way of looking at life, isn't it? Do you have any enemies? Do you have anybody you don't like? You have people that get under your skin. Now, don't say they're sitting beside me. I don't want to hear it. You're to love your enemies. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Then in verse 29 of Luke 6, he says this, "To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either." Find it interesting in verse 20, back to Romans chapter 12, Paul says, "For in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head." There's been a lot of thought about what does that mean. It's a quoting out of Proverbs, or taken from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. We won't read them, basically the same words. Some Bible scholars believe, such as John MacArthur, that this refers to an ancient custom in which a person who wanted to show contrition for something in their lives would put burning coals in a pot and put it on their head and carry it around in shame and guilt. That's possible. Others see it as a way of getting back. God says he'll take care, he'll really get them back if I'm kind to them. I don't think that's the heart here. But what I see here is this. While all these other ideas express God working through our kindness to our enemies, I like the idea that coals of fire represent God's cleansing actions, cleansing power through our kind actions. Hot coals in Scripture usually represent cleansing and making something pure. And I believe as we, as Christians, when somebody hates and despises us, and we can authentically do something right to them, we are allowing that commitment and that witness to kind of hit on their head in their thinking and start to cleanse their mind towards what God's forgiveness and love looks like. Do you understand that? Because if we respond just like the world, they've won. But if even somebody that treats us horribly, if we can respond in loving kindness, we can see change take place in their lives. Think of it this way, a blacksmith's forge. They have a hot fire going there, right? I mean, so hot you can feel it from 20 feet away. But that fire is not meant to destroy metal, but to refine metal. Those coals are meant as some metals placed in there to burn away impurities. And the metal becomes stronger and stronger, more useful, even more beautiful. And in a way, when we can reflect the love of God and help people by showing kindness when they are hateful to us, that testimony will burn, I believe, in their hearts and in their minds. So that's tough, isn't it? How many find that natural? That does not come through your own strength. It only comes through the power of God in you. And what I have found, sadly, even this week, when I respond in hate, when somebody does something I think is mean to me, it doesn't go well. I'm just glad they don't know who I am. You may laugh, but I'm not. I was driving down the road. Here I am driving, trying to be Christ-like. And somebody just comes up to my tail, zips around me. I'm passing a truck, and then just right in the last moment, zips right in front of me, right? I didn't give him a bad gesture. I did this. And the driver saw me in his rearview mirror. And he gave me a bad gesture. I say that, not so you could go find another church. I'm telling you that our instinct, our fleshly reaction sometimes comes so quickly and we just
Yay, you did good. You cut me off.
I learned that in Uruguay, by the way. They also have other hand motions there, too. We got to learn to try to respond when somebody does something wrong to us, that we can honestly do something good for them. To love our enemies, to turn the other cheek. And I don't send me to driving school for my Christmas gift. Just pray for me. Because we all struggle with this. Sometimes we watch news on TV and we see something that reminds us of an enemy against us. And we may want to curse at the TV. We get so upset. Think of how we can get revenge. But that's not the answer. The answer is us loving our enemies. If you don't like what I just said about loving our enemies, take it up with Jesus, because those were his words. So our first point this morning was dealing with people that come against our enemies. But the last two points are found in that last verse, verse 21. And this verse takes a step back from our individual enemy to evil itself, to the forces that come against us. See, we might conquer a little bit when somebody individually does something to us, but how do we become overcomers? How are we authentic Christians when it comes to the enemy coming against us, the forces of Satan himself? Evil is a force. It's a strategy from Satan himself, and it can be and must be conquered by the church and by believers. You and I are a part of it. So not only should we love our enemies, we must, in our 11th key of these 12 we're looking at, we must stay strong in temptation. Look at verse 21. Notice it's not talking about now any longer about an individual, but talking about evil forces. Do not be overcome by evil. Now, if you're going to be an overcomer, which these next two verses are dealing with, you have to have an offense and you have to have a defense. We saw that last night with Tennessee blowing away those Florida Gators. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved every moment of it. I just hate that Pastor Matt wasn't able to watch that. He was at the youth. I would have loved just to watch Matt watch it, right? Now, remember, you're to love your enemies, okay? But you saw a balance. You saw defense and offense, and this is the defense. Stay strong against temptation. You cannot be an overcomer. You cannot be an authentic Christian. You can get the first 10 of these right, but if you mess up on 11, you've just become unauthentic to those that are watching you. People won't respect you, right? People say, is he phony? And you got to confess. I guess I've confessed my driving habits today. You got to be honest about where you are, where you're strong, where you're weak. But you've got to have the desire to overcome temptation, to stay strong, to not be overcome by evil. Paul wrote about this to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is a key verse. If you don't know it, write it down. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But, see, every man has the same temptation, but there's a but. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to stand, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There's always a way out. There's always a no. There's always a way you can find victory. God's not going to tempt you beyond what you're able to run away from and escape. James 4:7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So how do we say no to temptation? Several months ago, I preached on the armor of God. And one of the pieces of the armor of God is the shield of faith, to resist the fiery darts of Satan. How do we grow in faith? Anybody? I've said this at least 100 times, probably in the last year. How do we grow in faith? Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. How do we have a shield of faith? How are we able to say no to sin? We have to get into the Word of God. I cannot overstress this. I can't exaggerate it too much. It is absolutely necessary. Now listen, if you wake up the person beside you because they need this one. Back over there. Yeah, okay. I cannot overstress this. The necessity of the Word of God in staying strong in the midst of temptation. David wrote this, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." It is impossible for you to fight off temptation if you're not in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Paul, you've said that 100 times. You're just not getting it. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, the Word of God. With the power of God's Word and the shield of faith, you will have the power and desire to use this key phrase. Here it is. You want to hear the key phrase? When temptation comes your way, here it is. No, I don't want to. That's the key phrase. Empowered by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit living in you. No, I don't want to. You may memorize verses about it, but sometimes it's just the power of God living in your life that you will be able to say no. You might not remember exact verses, but you know you've read it there and you're reading it, and the power of God is in you. John Ortberg made this observation. Listen, I like this. He wrote, "I know a song that I bet you can sing even if you have never heard a recording of it. We don't know who wrote the lyrics. In fact, it doesn't even have any words. It was written by some anonymous genius, and it does not contain a single word, but everyone knows it. And it's one of the most important songs you have ever learned. Do you know what it is? The ABC song. The alphabet song. You memorized this song because it helped you to identify letters and to read and write. You know it. You memorized it, and it helps you. We should memorize the Bible, know and sing the Bible, understand the Bible, because in it, God gives us the strength. He brings to our mind everything we need to say no. Think for a moment about how Jesus, when he faced temptation, what did he do in the wilderness? Remember? After fasting 40 days and nights, he was confronted by the devil himself. And Jesus demonstrated an essential power to overcome these temptations. He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture. He was tempted with food, power, security, and every time with verses from Deuteronomy, he quoted Scripture and won the victory. How much more do we need the power of God's Word? Do you love this book? Do you read it? Do you every day, every single day, do you realize without it, you are not going to find victory? You will never be an overcomer. That's the defense. The last part of verse 21 gives us our last key of how to be an overcomer, how to be authentic, is we need to be a person of kindness. Verse 21, the last part, overcome evil with good. This is the offense of being an overcomer. It's not that genius when you think about it. It's so easy to understand and so easy to do. I could have said, be an overcomer, but that would have just been some vague thought. To be an overcomer, Paul said this, be a person of kindness. Overcome evil with what? Goodness, with kindness. That's the victorious, authentic Christian life, living on the offensive. Looking at this world system where everybody's all about self. Everybody's posting pictures on themselves. What they ate, what bathroom they went to, what the toilet looks in the bathroom. I don't care. Right? I mean, we live in the most narcissistic society and age we as the human race have ever seen. It's all about me. Here I am walking down the street giving you my life as I eat as I exercise, all those things, and there's nothing wrong with eating and exercising and doing all those things, but I'm going to tell you something. This whole world's just focused on themselves. And this whole evil system is focused on how to take that selfishness, that narcissistic mindset, and set that mind not on God, but on self and the things of this world. And here we stand, we're Christians, we're already odd. We dress modestly. We go to church. We smile awkwardly. Right? There's some, we praise God, we pray at the lunch table. By the way, that's a good thing to do, even at a restaurant. We do all these things, and the world's kind of watching us, but what are we doing to affect evil? He said, you can overcome evil. You can be an overcomer of evil by doing good. That's amazing to me. It's not like we had to sit around and come up with this scheme and plan. How are we going to counteract the forces of evil? It's simple. Live an authentic Christian life. Say no to sin. Love your enemies. And do good. Be a kind person. Show love, even when no one's looking. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He didn't say come up with some clever little plan. Sit and think through all the things you're going to do. He said just do right, do good, be kind. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, and let not us grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Tack that on. I like that. He wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, this will be our last verse for the day. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That's what we're to be. You don't have to, here's the key to this. You don't have to take a class on this. My wife has a sign, it's nice to be nice. Just be nice. Be kind. Show love. Go out of your way every day to do something kind to somebody less fortunate than you. And you will make the biggest impact on this world that you never could imagine. That's what it's about, an authentic Christian. Now, how do we do this? Again, how do we do kind things? By our works, which we just showed. But then we follow them up with our words, that we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I do have one more verse. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Those are the words speaking the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You see, we get the respect, we get the ears of this world when we show kindness, and then we get their ears when we speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. We get to their heart, and they see and hear the truth. How many of you have ever heard of Lottie Moon? Raise your hands. Some of you. All right. Lottie Moon lived from 1840 to 1912. She was a Southern Baptist missionary who served in China for nearly 40 years. dedicating her life to evangelism, teaching, serving women and children. She was known for her boldness and compassion. She endured a lot of things, specifically famine, sickness, hostility, and cultural barriers. You know, every year around this time of year, we take up a special offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. And it's for foreign missions, and we'll do that in the month of December. I hope you'll pray. And that's above your regular giving. We give to missions so that our missionaries can be on the field. Lottie was a unique individual. She was, I need one of our youth to stand up here. Maggie, come here, stand up here. No, okay, you can stand up here, Grace. Come here, stand. You were so quick to put her there. How tall are you?
I don't know.
Probably about 4'3", right? Yes, I believe so. Lottie was shorter than this lady right here. And she went as, go on, you may be seated, you're standing in the way, okay. She was short, 4'3" tall. She was a single woman. She went to China all by herself. And she faced hostility when she went there as a missionary. In the Shandong province, when she arrived in the 1870s, many of the villagers were suspicious, did not trust her. They mocked her, threw stones at her, tried to intimidate her. And instead of retaliating, she responded with calmness and kindness and generosity. Her refusal to return anger for anger softened their hearts. And during a severe famine, she gave away her own food and resources to feed anybody that would come and ask for food while she starved to death. And even those who once opposed her, they were taken back by what happened, and that she would give her own life to spare theirs. This act of mercy earned the respect of those rock-throwing crowds, and soon they stopped to listen to her message, and many, many people trusted Christ. Her good works, her kind works, even to her enemies, opened the door for her to overcome adversity and evil by her word. I hope that we can be overcomers too. Do you want that? I do. Do you? I mean, you're sitting here week after week. Do you really want to? Do you want to be different than when you walk in those doors? Do you want to have a life that God, when you get to heaven, will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Or do you want the doors to open and you squeak in? I want to have a life that impacts our world with the gospel. I hope you do too. So much so that some of you can go to the mission field and surrender, and you've been struggling. Because here's the neat thing. God will keep pulling on your heart, pulling on your heart. And you'll know he's pulling on your heart. Well, it's time to stop saying no to God. Say no to the world and say yes to God. Whatever you want, I'm yours. I have a so what, couple so what factors here as we close. First of all, to be an authentic Christian, you must first be a Christian. Are you truly saved? Has there been a time in your life that you can look back and say, yes, I know I became a Christian back then? You may not know the exact date or time, but you know there was a time and place. You recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've come to the conclusion of Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you've heard the good news. That's the gospel. He died for us. He rose from the grave for us. I'm a sinner. I deserve death. But now I need a time in my life where I call on Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. Have you ever done that? If you're not sure, why not make sure? Listen to Romans 10, verses 8 and 10 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You know it's close. You know this is what you need. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He's talking about a repentance, a belief of repentance. For with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness. God, cleanse me. Make me right. Take away my sin. Help me to walk with you. Help me to have a life that honors you. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that? Right now, right where you're at, I'm going to give you that opportunity to trust Christ. Would you like to do that? If you are interested in this, I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed, would you pray this prayer? If you've never done this, or you know this is something that you need to do today, Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve death. And I have heard the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ came and he died for my sins. My sins. And he rose victorious over sin and death. Now I'm calling on you, Father, to save me. Cleanse my life of sin. Help me to walk in newness of life. I trust in you to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and meant that today, you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Most important thing about that you need to be an authentic Christian, you have to be a Christian. Got two more real quick. So what factors? Number two, do you have a personal enemy? Come on, think about it. You have a personal enemy. Could be a family member, co-worker, someone at school, even a neighbor, the guy that keeps blowing leaves onto your yard. This week, do something kind for that neighbor. One thing. Do something kind for that neighbor. Number three, identify a temptation you give into time and time and time again. And by the way, these can change as you get older. And look for two verses this week that address that sin and that temptation. All right? And then finally, this one's going to be an easy one. On your way out, grab one of these. They're at the welcome station back there. And Pam, have some of them put on maybe the table for the shoe boxes. These are invite cards to Christmas. Share the good news. You can do it simply by inviting somebody to come be with you for Christmas services. All the month long of December, we have our Christmas program with our kids on Christmas on the Hill and Pastor Neil. We have a Christmas Eve service. Christmas and Easter are the most receptive times people have in their heart towards the gospel. Let's speak good to the world around us and invite them. Somebody said, hey, this would make a nice ornament. I'm not sure, but if you want to, you can, and make it an ornament at your workplace and put it there to invite people to church. Let's stand together. If you trusted Christ today or this week at youth camp or any other time, and you want to make a public profession of that decision, I invite you to come. We're going to have a baptism service next Sunday. After being saved, it's called on every believer to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you've been visiting this church and you want to become a part, a member, to serve. To be an authentic Christian means you're going to be an authentic church member, right? Whether here or somewhere else, just be authentic. Be the real deal. Others may just want to spend some time on the altar, and you've heard this series, these 12 things, and say, God, help me to be that. I've got to lay my life down and say that. It doesn't come natural. It's only through the power of God's Word, the Holy Spirit living in us, and we just got to cry out, say, God, help me to live what I'm supposed to live for your glory. We're going to have a time of invitation. I invite you to come. Father, in the next few moments, let us do business with you. Let us seek your face. unashamed of the decisions we make, to put our lives on the altar and say, God, I'm yours, to deal with things going on in our life, to make a public testimony. I pray to trust Christ, to unite with the church. God, you know what needs to go on. So we're committing this time for you, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.